This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
That's one thing that has really changed for me because of these two films. Because it really showed me that, you know, all you need to do is just go out and talk. It is, everybody has curiosities and everybody has different life experiences. You come from different life experiences. I come from different life experiences. And everybody wants to know the other side of the story. There's always something holding you back.
Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of the Passion People Podcast. And I'm your host, Naga. The podcast chronicles stories of people who followed their passion and made it manifest in tangible ways. Now, we're taking it one step further by following the journey of independent artists and passionate creators who are monetizing in a world changed by COVID-19. If this is the first time you're tuning in, feel free to listen to any episode based on what captures your attention. Before we start, I'd like to give a shout out to Deep, who left us a rating on Apple Podcasts saying that he loves the podcast. Thank you, Deep, for your kind words. If anyone else has a shout out or want to be featured on the show, you know what to do. Today, we're talking to Omkar, who's a freelance cinematographer from Bombay. We talk about Omkar's journey of getting to where he is today and how a forced gap here helped him realize his love for movies and what he eventually wants to do in life. What pushed me to reach out to Omkar was the warm, fuzzy feelings that his documentaries left me with. In a world filled with things that are pretentious and fake, here was refreshing, authentic content that took you to a different place and connected you to people on the ground. If you're keen to check out Omkar's work, check out the links that are there in the show notes. But before you go there, don't forget to listen to the show and then bounce off. Let's dive in. Omkar, thank you so much for taking time to be on the Passion People podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I think a good place to start would be to tell us what your passion is and how you're making it manifest.
I'm a cinematographer. I work in Bombay as a freelance cinematographer. I majorly love to shoot non-fiction documentary films, but as documentaries don't provide a lot of financial help in India especially, I do a sort of like digital commercials and short films, and I do aspire to get into fiction filmmaking as well. That is also a long-term target.
Got it.
Yeah.
So there are all these terms, right? Like there's a director, there's a producer, there's a cinematographer. So what do all these different people do? And in that, what do you specifically do?
Okay. So I am a cinematographer. So my department is camera, lighting, collaborating with the director. Before we go on the shoot, my job is to collaborate with the director and sort of combine his vision with the technical know-how that is needed, because filmmaking is ultimately, it's an art, but it's a scientific art. But there's a lot of science that goes behind how you capture the images, how you record the sound. So it's, filmmaking in itself is a collaboration of various kinds of people who specialize in various different departments. So director who has a vision for that particular story, he has seen the film already in his head even before he sets foot on the set. So it's the cinematographer's job to really understand his vision, how he sees the film, and try to get it on camera. So that's predominantly the job of the cinematographer.
Got it. The shift from engineering to, you know, something on the creative lines must be a big one. So what inspired you or what pushed you to make that shift happen?
Okay, yeah. So let me go back before engineering to answer your question. So as a child, actually, my father used to... So you remember how on Doordarshan, every Friday and Saturday and Sunday, there would be films in the evening. So,
right.
So my father, when he used to be home on the weekends, he would sit me down before the film would start. And he is a huge Amitabh Bachchan fan. So, and... every time there would be a Amitabh Bachchan film playing, he would sit me down like an half an hour before the film would start. And he would, you know, very enthusiastically, he would explain, he would tell me, ki, this is going to happen in this film. This film is about that. And he's going to do this. He's going to do that. And it used to be very exciting for me because my father is in general a very shy person. So he's very reserved kind of a person. So this was like a rare chance for me to, you know, have some kind of a bond with him.
Right,
and,
right.
And that's how this fascination for films really grew for me from my childhood. I used to watch a lot of films as a kid. When I was in my junior college, I used to bunk college and go watch films at the theater. And then when I was in engineering college, what happened actually was, like, unfortunately, in the first year of my engineering college, I had an accident and my leg was like burnt from a side and I underwent an operation. And because of that, I had to sit out a year, my first year of engineering. I could not.
First year itself.
Yeah. I could not give my second semester exams. Like, the accident happened just a day before my maths exam of the second semester. Wow.
Almost seems like it's on purpose.
Yeah. You could say so. Like, in hindsight, I'm happy about it. But yeah, so I had to sit out the exams. And so I had 1 year of nothingness. And I was pretty clueless. I mean, first year, you have no idea what to do in life. I was just home, jobless. And this friend of mine from college, he just came up to me and he said, why don't you join the theater circle of the college? And, you know, instead of doing nothing, you could just watch films, like read books or something like that. So that kind of just gave me something to do. So Pune has a lot of theater culture, especially inter-college competitions. So I did that. And while doing that, I got in touch with some people from FTII. And then I got to know about Pune International Film Festival. So that kind of set me off on that path where I started watching a lot of cinema. I made some friends at FTII. I started assisting them on their projects at FTII. All this while being pretty absent in college. Like, by the end of final year of engineering, I was pretty much clueless as to what I want to do. I just knew that I didn't want to do anything related to engineering. I had certain other options. But so, like, around the end of the final year of engineering, I sort of knew that I want to pursue filmmaking. Then I didn't know what exactly I wanted to do in filmmaking. Like,
right,
there are different avenues. I knew that direction is not for me or acting is not for me. I knew that because...
Why so, if I can ask?
Yeah, because see, acting is something that is... It requires a lot out of you. You need to really put yourself out there for the world to see, right? I'm a pretty reserved kind of a person. I like to be in the background. I like to be a little bit low profile, you know. So,
right.
And again, direction is sort of the same in a different way, because again, everybody is looking at you and everybody, you are answerable to a lot of people. And again, you are also managing a lot of people. You're managing all the departments and it's a very responsible kind of a job. So I sort of knew that I don't want to go there, but I want to be involved in filmmaking, but I also want to do something that really is important to the basics of filmmaking. So I thought of editing and cinematography. And then when I was assisting people at FTII, that sort of gave me a lot of understanding and learning as to what each department means. I literally, after I completed engineering, some projects that I assisted at FTII, I was literally just like a production assistant, and my job would be simply to get the food from place A to place B to all the crew. So that's literally where I started from. But doing all of that really gave me an understanding of each and every department, what each and every person is supposed to do. And it also taught me, like, FTI, the environment is so good. FTI usually gets a very bad name, but the one thing that it really taught me there, that every student over there really values each and every person's job. Like, even taking that food from place A to place B was an important job and they understood the value of it. So, but while doing that, I understood what his department does to achieve that final goal of that final film. And so I sort of gravitated towards the camera. And then a couple of projects I assisted the cinematographers over there. And then in 2013, I attempted the FTI entrance exam. Until then, I did not have a camera or anything as such. And still, I got through for the interviews of both TV cinematography course and film cinematography course at FTI. And that's when my parents were suddenly like, okay, he has potential. He's not just wasting his years. And that's when I got my first camera. I got selected for the TV course that year, but it's a 1 year course. And I was like, I thought I'll wait it out and I'll try again next year. So I didn't take up admission in 2013. And in 2014, they did not have admissions because they had to clear out the 2008 batch, which was still not cleared out. So unfortunately, I could not get into FTI. But then 2014, I shifted to Bombay because by then it was like, I have to do something. I can't just sit at home and not do anything. So my family was pretty concerned because I was really not doing anything. Till the summer of 2014, it was just watching films, going to FTI, watching films over there and just...
12, is it?
Yeah, 2012.
Okay, got
it. For two years, I was not doing anything. That just watching films was all that I was doing. I was literally watching like at least two films every day. And so then 2014, one of my friends who's now a pretty well-established DOP, his name is Ishit, he suggested to me that you should go to Xavier's Institute of Communications in Bombay, which is like a one-year filmmaking course in St. Xavier's College, Bombay. So, and he said that it would be good for you. You will get some kind of exposure for how the industry works in Bombay, how people function in Bombay, how Bombay as a city itself is. And maybe after doing that one-year course, you can come back for FTI. You will already have established some contacts over there. It will help you. And I kind of just thought it's good advice. I went for it. I gave the entrance and I got selected. So I did the one-year course at XIC in Bombay. Since then, I have been in Bombay. I started getting work after XIC. That's pretty much my filmmaking journey.
What happens after? So do you continue being in Bombay? Because you've said that you were in Bombay for 5 years, right? So what happens next?
Yeah, so now my life is pretty much in Bombay because... So during XIC, I met my wife. We got married in 2017.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. She's from Bombay itself. So, and I pretty much most of the work is in Bombay. So life is pretty much set in Bombay now. I have my parents stay in Pune. So I'm coming and going, but I think I'll have to be in Bombay. The idea is like, I would love to go back to Pune and work from there, but it will take some time.
But I guess for the kind of work that you're doing, Bombay is the place to be, right?
Yeah, especially for commercial work, majority of the work happens in Bombay. For like digital commercials, the short films and web series and all that kind of stuff happens in Bombay. Pune also has its own industry, but it's mostly regional. Bombay is more Hindi specific or, you know, urban. And I personally enjoy shooting nonfiction more. I like shooting documentaries a lot more. So after I completed XIC, a friend of mine put me in touch with these people at Camera and Shorts. And I worked with them for a year, and that's where I met Samarth Mahajan. He had this idea of making a film about people traveling in general compartments in the country. So I really loved that idea, and we set off on that journey. That was in 2016. It was three of us. We traveled all across the country for 17 days straight in general compartments, and we shot with people traveling in general compartments. It was just a series of conversations. We never even thought that it would become a film. We just went thinking that, you know, let's just see what happens. It was pretty naive. We were like beginners trying to do something. Sort of really changed our lives in a lot of ways, because not only did it change our perspective of life itself, it also gave our careers a big boost in a way. When the film was done, and then the next year when we released it, it got a national award, and it sort of really was, what do you call it, vindication to, you know, a lot of our passion and why we do the things we do. So yeah, so that really helped us. Like that film really changed a lot of things for us. And then after that, we started working on another film, Samarth and Me, with the people at Camera and Shorts. We started working on another film called The Borderlands, which is basically a film where we are trying to explore the lives of people living on the borders of the country, and stories of people beyond the conversations of politics and the military, and it just trying to explore the daily lives of these people, which normally you don't get to talk about. So that's the idea of that film. So we've been working on that film for over 2 years now. So yeah, so I really enjoy that process, going out and shooting with real life people, with real people, real stories. That really appeals to me a lot more.
I think that way the podcast and what you're doing with Borderlands is quite similar, in the sense that we are all showcasing stories of people. Yeah. And you know, we're getting it out in the world. But it's interesting that you mention Unreserved and your trip across India, because that's where I started following you on Twitter, like back in the day in 2016. And I was on a gap year myself then. And so I was working in a company and I had taken a break, and I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. And I was looking for, you know, whatever was happening in the world. And you know, you guys were trending on Twitter for a long time. It was, as and when that was happening.
Yeah, it was like a big surprise, like a shock to me actually, because so I was like a normal, like hardly like a 200, 300 follower kind of a person on Twitter. And I just started posting pictures. So the very first day I just posted, we'd created this map, which is there in the film. We had created this map of the journey that we were going to do. So like starting from Bombay, then going to Delhi, then going to Jammu, then going to all the way to the Dibrugarh in the east, and then Kanyakumari and back to Bombay. So it was like all the four corners of the country. So that map, I put it, I posted that on Twitter and just said that, you know, three of us, we're traveling for the next 17 days in the general compartments. And at that point, I didn't publish that we're making a film or anything. It was just like a post that we're traveling. And then I just started putting up photos of every person we were talking to, along with one line that stuck with me of what they said. And that just kind of took off. Like in 2 or 3 days, I think every news site was putting out all the tweets. Some of them were asking me, some of them were not asking me. But yeah, I think almost all news publications had posted that thread online.
Yeah, that I think that was, you know, that what moved me the most about those posts was those pictures and those one-liners. And I think there were some small videos also that you guys had posted. I think something that you had taken on the mobile where you're interviewing the people on the compartments. I think we are all interested to know how other people's lives are panning out, right? Because, and that's evident in the success of social media, but you're getting out stories of people who we don't typically get to talk to.
Yeah.
And we've always wanted to ask that person, hey, what do you do? Like, there's this, you know, curiosity that's always there in the back of the mind.
Yeah, like there's always something holding you back. That's one thing that has really changed for me because of these two films, because it really showed me that, you know, all you need to do is just go out and talk. Of course, there are curiosities. Everybody has curiosities and everybody has different life experiences. You come from different life experiences. I come from different life experiences. And everybody wants to know the other side of the story. So it's just about going and doing it. I mean, there's no, like, this invisible barrier is really in our minds. Because what particularly Unreserved, what it really taught me was that we sort of live in a bubble of our own. And we think that my problems are real problems and my issues are real issues. But there are people out there who have their own issues. And it sort of like broke my illusion of my privilege, you know. And yeah, that really changed a lot of ways of how I look at life itself.
Right. You said that as a cinematographer, a lot of your work is, you know, making sure that the vision of the director comes true.
Hmm.
So what role do you play in the creative process of filmmaking or in documentary filmmaking? And why are you interested more in nonfiction rather than going the commercial route, which is like fiction or short stories or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm. It's more of a collaborative process in the sense that, because again, it's an art, and every art form, it's very subjective and it changes from person to person. So working with director A is going to be very different from working with director B. And that process also changes from person to person. So there's no set process as such. It's more like with which person is my tuning the best, or with which person do I have the best kind of understanding? Because with Samarth, what it happens usually when we are shooting out there, it's like he gives me a free hand. We have an understanding. Okay, this is the person that we are shooting with. We get a general idea, we get a general sense of that person's life, and we discuss that, okay, this seems to be important to this person. This is what we want to come out of this story. This is what we want the audience to feel. And then he gives me a free hand that, you know, shoot it the way you want to shoot it. And so the framing, the way we frame it, the way we compose the shots, the way you follow a person, he gives that completely up to me. And then when we are reviewing the footage, that's when he tells me, you know, I really like how you've shot this. This could have been shot better. This could have been like that. That's where I kind of get what he really wants or how he sees the film. And that's how you learn and grow from there. While at the same time with any other director, or say, for example, on a fiction set with a director where we are working on something that is like, say, for a short film, there it's completely different because you already know the entire story. It's down to like the director has seen, he knows how he wants the film to play out exactly. And so every frame is in collaboration with the director. Everything is calculated. Everything is pre-decided. And you know that these are the beats that you want to hit. And that's exactly how you want everything to pan out. So it's more of like choreography, you know, that you decided this, and then it's like 20 people coming together and trying to achieve that exactly how the director had thought of. So yeah, these are like the differences in the approach, and it changes from person to person. Even with fiction, there are certain directors who like to give a free hand to the actors and to the cinematographer. They just, you know, explain the scene and what they want, and then you can play it out. So it really differs from person to person. And in that sense, I personally, right now, where I am in life, right now, nonfiction appeals to me more because there's a certain kind of spontaneity to it. There's a certain kind of impulsive nature to it, where I enjoy the unpredictability of it, that things can surprise you. Every day there's something new to learn. Every person that you meet is going to share something absolutely unexpected. And in that way, nonfiction documentary films is something that really, really affects me a lot in that sense. So yeah, but although I'm not shying away from fiction, I love films. That's like primarily why I decided to do what I'm doing. But right now I am sort of, yeah, concentrating.
Got it. So what you mentioned that nonfiction has a tendency to surprise you. So if I may mm-hmm. ask, what were some of your biggest surprises while you were shooting Borderlands and Unreserved?
Many surprises. I mean, so because I can definitely share stories from Unreserved because Borderlands is still under production.
Right.
So
right.
Like from Unreserved, it was like, since like it was 4 years ago now when we shot it, and both of us were relatively, you know, beginners. We really didn't have much of a thought. We just set out and thought, let's see what we get. But the general compartments, especially, I mean, I, before that, I had not traveled much by general, honestly. And although I wasn't skeptical about it, I was like, okay, fine, it'll be a great adventure. And, but then it really took a lot out of us. And like both of us fell sick at some point in the journey. We met some really amazing people. Like if you see in the film, the film opens with this 80-year-old man who is doing all kinds of acrobatics in the general compartment. And everybody is shocked at how this old man is able to do all of that. Then we met this lady who is running away from her abusive husband back to her parents' house. My favorite part of the story of the film is this man from Orissa who was traveling for work, to find work, because he has to earn money because his daughter is battling with cancer, with brain tumor. And like while he is sharing that story, he's crying, he's sharing that story to us. But at the same time, there's a biryani seller who is selling anda biryani standing right next to him. And while he's selling that biryani, he literally keeps the box of biryani on this man's lap while he's crying and sharing his story. And the guy is selling anda biryani. Like that kind of really made me feel the pulse of the way we are as people, you know, like someone is sharing his most intimate hurt of his life and someone is just selling anda biryani, keeping it on his lap. So, yeah, I mean, these kind of experiences really affected us a lot. And again, as I said, these things surprise you, because even while we were shooting, there were a lot of interviews, a lot of people we talked to. Both of us felt that, okay, this is fine. This is not going to make it into the film, but still, okay, now we're talking. So let's just keep talking and let's just keep shooting. But you come back and you're editing and you suddenly feel that, oh, this is actually very interesting. And the editor feels that, you know, this actually works. And sometimes it also happened that while shooting, you feel that, okay, this is actually a great interview. But on the edit table, the editor is like, this is not good. So in that sense, also nonfiction really surprises you a lot, because not everything will work the way you expected it to work. And yeah, I hope I'm making sense, because I don't know how I answered your question.
I'm just closing my eyes and thinking about that particular situation, and it's just so moving. So yeah, absolutely. This totally answers my question. So for people who want to start off a career or want to start in cinematography, mm-hmm. So what inputs or tips would you have for them?
I am pretty much self-taught in that sense. I mean, yes, I assisted students in FDI on their projects, but that was just like an introduction kind of a thing for me. I was just introduced to how a set works, what are the different responsibilities of different people on a set, what exactly does the work of a cinematographer entail. So that just kind of gave me an understanding of all those things. But when it comes to actually learning those responsibilities, I pretty much learned most of it even after I completed XIC, the filmmaking course in XIC, because that course was again like a generic filmmaking course. It wasn't exhaustively about cinematography, but I always knew that I wanted to do cinematography, and I had a basic Canon DSLR camera. So that's where I began from, honestly. Like internet is a huge resource. I mean, anything and everything that you want to learn about, you can learn about it on YouTube now, or anywhere on the internet. What I would suggest is, from my experience, if you have a DSLR, any DSLR, that's great. Or even, I mean, now people are making films on mobile phones. And mobile cameras are also absolutely amazing these days. So just get to it. I mean, start learning how a camera operates. Basically, begin from there. There are so many resources on the internet to understand that, to learn that. So begin from there. Understand how a camera operates, and then just start making your own films. There is no other way to learn the craft of filmmaking, because the more films you make, the more mistakes you will make. And the more mistakes you will make, you will know, I don't want to repeat these mistakes for the next project. I'm going to make new mistakes. That's what I think my biggest takeaway has been from the past 10 years of my life. And there are a lot of books on filmmaking and cinematography, especially Notes on Cinematography is one of my favorite books about the craft of cinematography. And there, again, just I think the best way to do it is just start making your own stuff. You can learn the way I did. You can talk to someone who is a photographer to understand the basics of camera and take it from there. But yeah, I mean, cinematography is something that you have to do to understand. You can read and watch as much as theory as you want to, but unless you start doing it yourself, unless you have a camera in your hand and you start taking images, only then you will understand how to go about it.
Got it. So I guess we could expand that analogy to anything, right? Because practical experience is the best way to learn. True. And you know, no matter what you do, it's always important that you try it out yourself or come up with a project.
True, absolutely. Very, very true. I mean, I actually, like, as I said earlier, before 2014, my life was just watching films. At that time, I really thought that I'm wasting my life away watching films. But today, when I actually don't get the time to watch films as much as I used to, I really feel that was actually my basic education, where watching so many films, it really gave me a lot. I mean, today when I am working and we are on a set, it really helps me a lot when a director says, you know, that film, that kind of a look, that kind of a shot, that's what I'm aiming for. And you just remember it and you're like, oh, yes, I know. And now I get what you're saying. So that really helped. And then, you know, the hands-on experience, the hands-on knowledge of how to work with a camera and how to work with lighting. Like, watching films is the base. That's where, like, that's the base of getting into filmmaking, any department. And then your expertise is what you build on top.
Very well said. I totally agree with you. I guess the takeaway from that is always do things on your own and see how you can implement these things, and also that nothing ever goes to waste.
Yeah.
Right? Because what you thought was something that you were just sitting at home and chilling, but actually that informed your worldview. And I'm sure that would be a great moment to experience when a director or someone tells you that, I want this movie and this shot. And you're like, yes, I exactly know what you're talking about. Here it is. As we reach the far end of the episode, so how does it feel to be on the Passion People podcast, and where can people reach out to you?
This has been great. I mean, I never expected someone would ask me to talk to them about cinematography, especially so early in my life, in my career. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. And sorry, what was your second question?
Where can people reach out to you in case they want to talk, or there's a project they want to collaborate on, or they just want to say hi and they loved your episode?
Yeah, so you can reach out to me on Instagram. My handle is Cineblue, that is CineBlue. That's where, anybody can say hi. Yeah.
All right. I'll also include the links for Unreserved and your Instagram handle on the show
notes.
Yes,
thank you so much.
I enjoyed that episode for so many reasons, but the biggest thing is because it reminded me of my gap year back in 2016 when I traveled the country and started this podcast. If you're still with us, thank you for tuning in. Here are my 2 cents from the episode. You can only learn so much in theory and so much more in practice. So to accelerate your learning process, whether it's cinematography or anything else, start doing the work. Start making your videos, your content, the movies, or whatever your craft is, and learn from your mistakes and get better through the iterative process. A gap year can do one a lot of good. Omkar thought he was whiling away time watching movies, but that came back to be a great asset for his chosen career path. If you're interested to know more about taking a gap year, check out the link to my Medium page in the show notes. I keep saying this because this is such a recurring theme across the show, but I cannot overemphasize the importance of surrounding yourself with people who want you to succeed and are better than you. In Omkar's case, it was his friend who suggested him to go to XIC in Bombay, put him in touch with Samarth Mahajan, or doing the work that he did. You can learn and do stuff on your own, but what will take you to the next level is the support of the people around you, the introductions they make, the network that they bring, and your ability to expand your canvas and increase the chances of you being spotted in your industry, in your chosen path of career. In case you have not already subscribed to the show, do subscribe on the Epilogue website or your favorite podcast streaming platform.